is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Strength like no other reaches to me. You are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. Come on, won't you stand all over the building? Because you are my strength. Strength like no other. Strength like no other. Reaches to me. Fullness of your grace, in the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up in the fullness of your grace, in the power of your
worship him. Let's worship him.
You are my peace.
Is he your peace? Think about the words.
Peace like no other.
Oh my.
Peace like no other.
Bless his name.
Reaches to me.
Say it one more time. Come on.
In the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name, you lift me up. You lift me up.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your grace. In the power of your name.
Oh, yeah.
You lift me.
Listen, listen. But Cutright, I want you to walk us through those words, see? Because the words ought to minister to your spirit. And as those words minister to your spirit, it ought to compel you to minister unto God. Amen. Come on. Come on. Walk us through it.
You are my strength. Strength like no other.
Here we go.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Reaches to me.
Reaches to me.
You are my hope.
You are my hope.
Hope like no other.
Hope like no other.
Hope like no other.
Hope like no other.
Reaches to me.
Reaches to me.
Now give us that chorus, the chorus.
In the fullness of thy grace.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your power.
In the fullness of your power.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the fullness of your grace.
In the power of your name.
In the power of your name.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
You lift me up.
You are my strength.
You are my strength.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Strength like no other.
Reaches me.
Reaches to me.
Hallelujah. Come on, put those hands together. Give God a hand of praise.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you for making a way for us when there was no way. Father, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the light. Father, we bless your name now. As we stand to preach your word, we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts and into our minds that will remind us that you're God and God all by yourself. We thank you and we give you praise. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer, this we pray in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Can live without you. Thank you so much, choir. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to call your attention to the book of Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9. And we want to read verse 22 into your hearing. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. I said in Sunday school that I'm going to go old school as it relates to a few topics that we normally used to deal with more often in the church. Now, I'm a progressive pastor, and I believe that if we're going to attract younger folk, and that is a part of what we're supposed to do, try to attract younger people into our worship experience, amen. So some things do have to change. And y'all have heard me use an economics term that I learned at Southern University called methodological elasticity. And all that means is that the methods have to be elastic enough to meet the needs of all the people. And so the methods have to change sometimes. But one thing that ought not ever change is the message. Amen. And I'm learning that we need to talk a lot more now about hell, and we need to talk about this that we have before us this morning. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, and it reads, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." Amen. I want to talk this morning about power in the blood. Thank you, ushers. Power in the blood. One of the things that they're teaching in seminaries now, and a lot of seminaries, they're telling pastors and preachers not to talk so much about blood. Don't talk, it's gory. Some have called it slaughterhouse religion. But I have come, my brothers and sisters, to remind us this morning that a gospel that negates or neglects the blood of Jesus is not a real gospel. Do I have any witnesses here today? Because without the blood of Jesus, our religion is no more than a devil's substitute. You know, if the devil had his way, no preacher would ever stand and talk about the blood of Jesus. I mean, if you want to put the devil on the run, I dare you to bring up the blood of Jesus. Some of us have forsaken some of the tools that we have in our Christian toolbox, and one of them is the blood of Jesus. Satan will try and convince us that we can be saved by good works. He will try to convince us that we can be saved by our reformation. We can be saved by doing the best we can. But I'm here to tell you that at our best, and the Bible says over in Isaiah that at our best, at the height of humane perfection, we are still messed up. We are still, the Bible says, as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. Even at our best, our walk is crooked. Even at our best, our tongues are still too vile. And there is nothing, I said nothing, but the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us from our iniquity. That's the danger of legalism. These churches that get you into believing that what you wear is so important, how you fix your hair and all of that stuff, that only has to do with the outward man. But if you get all that stuff right, if you look like you stepped out of GQ magazine or Vogue magazine, if you get all of that outer man or outer woman together and your heart is still black with muck and mire, you will still go to hell. And I may as well tell you that Christ did not shed his precious blood to keep us in style. He did not shed his precious blood to keep us up on the fashion trends. But he did die because he was concerned about the state of our hearts. But if it were not for the blood, we would all be lost without God and without hope in the world. Do I have a witness this morning? When we sing and talk about Jesus paying it all and all to him we owe, we recognize that his death is an integral part of our salvation. The Bible talks about death more than 175 times in the New Testament, talking about the death of Christ. We know, first of all, that he became a man for the specific purpose of dying. Tell your neighbor, he came to die. Hebrews 2 and 14 tells us that for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. My brothers and sisters, the meaning is clear. Christ was born to die. His death was not a mere accident of human life, but the supreme purpose of it. That's why he said, "You are not taking my life. I'm laying it down." Amen. His death is so important that when we get to heaven, y'all, we won't be singing in the sweet by and by. When we get to heaven, we won't be singing when all God's children get together. When we get to heaven, we won't be singing, "That's the reason why I sing." We won't be singing none of John P. Key or Daryl Coley or Walter Hawkins songs. For the record states in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 that the redeemed host of heaven sing the new song about the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. That's what we'll be singing about. Well, why did he die? He died as a vicarious offering for sin. The dictionary tells us that vicarious suffering is suffering in the place of another. Jesus, the perfect righteous one, deserved to live, but he died in the place of the unjust, sinful men and women who deserve to die. Tell your neighbor, "I deserve to die." Isaiah 53 and 5 tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. 1 Peter 3 and 18 tells us that for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Matthew 20 and 28 tells us that he died as a ransom for many. We've been hearing on the news lately about these Russian hackers that have been, amen, demanding ransom from American businesses and American companies. And we heard about Colonial Oil. They paid $4 or $5 million, amen, so that the hackers would let their systems go free. And that didn't bother me so much, amen, but when they hacked the meat plant, and they said there might be a shortage of hamburgers and there might be a shortage of pig feet and all that kind of stuff, amen. I got worried, amen. But the news reporter said that they went on and paid the ransom. And y'all, I am so glad. But look, they paid the ransom because they were worried about their bottom line. They paid the ransom because they were worried that they were going to lose money, amen. But I'm so glad that Jesus, the Bible says, paid the ransom for many. And can I tell you, he didn't pay it because he was worried about his bank account. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He didn't pay it, amen, because he was worried about stock investors or any of that. Can I tell you why he paid it? He paid it because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad he paid the ransom because he loved me. Is there anybody here today who can thank God that he loved you? One verse that really ministers to my heart is John 4:10. It says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You see, God has a holy wrath because of sin. He's not angry at the sinner, but he's angry at the sin. God hates sin, my brothers and sisters, with all of his might. But the question comes, how can God's wrath be appeased? Can man do it? Can man pay enough? No, Christ had to die. And his blood became the thing which appeases the wrath of God. The word propitiate means to render favorable. We had lost favor with God because of our sin. And we were brought back into this favor through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's holiness causes him to have a hatred of sin, a hatred which must be manifested. But he has a real love, my brothers and sisters, for the sinner. His wrath for sin has to strike.